Welcome to another edition of Keller City Limits, the podcast covering everything Keller, from politics, sports, and anything in between. Your host for the broadcast, Doug Miller.
You're too small to play ball, Coach Jackson used to scream. He said I'd never make the team, but I didn't give up on that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Keller City Limits, the podcast, episode number 6. In this episode, we had a chance to sit down with Jerry Lee Phillips, who is running for Tarrant County Commissioner in Precinct 3. I received a piece of campaign literature from Mr. Phillips over the weekend, and it prompted me to ask for an interview with him. What intrigued me was the fact that he was running to the right of the incumbent, who is a Republican, while Mr. Phillips is running on the Democratic ticket. I tried something new with this interview. Instead of having it in a quiet office, we met at the Starbucks in Town Center. I was assured by a podcast consultant that with the microphones and recording device that I have, the background noise wouldn't be an issue, and in fact would make the interview more interesting. I think I agree to a point, but the coffee grinder at times was loud, so loud that I could barely hear Jerry Lee talk, and he was sitting right next to me. I found that the interview turned out well after I edited it, except that while the microphone for Mr. Phillips was placed correctly, mine was not, and I seem a little far away. Live and learn, and I promise next time I'll do better.
We're sitting here at Starbucks in Kellertown Center with Precinct 3 Democratic nominee Jerry Lee Phillips running for county commissioner.
Can we have gone to the left?
No.
Is she offering?
Somebody got in. Somebody ran into it. That's not a good start to an interview. You call Jerry Lee.
You call me Jerry Lee.
Jerry Lee, like the killer.
Great balls of fire.
Great balls of fire. Tell us a little about your background.
I'm a Sunday school teacher. I teach at the West Wind Christian Church. I teach the high school kids in the CYF class. I've been in the cattle business, I've been a contractor, I've been a small real estate investor, and I'm, as an adult, first-time candidate for public office.
What made you decide to run?
I was at a town hall, and Commissioner Ficus was speaking, and I asked him a couple of questions, and afterwards, a few people came up to me, and they said, we liked your questions more than we liked his answers. And they asked me if I would consider running for county commissioner.
You're currently, as you said, you're currently running for county commissioner precinct 3. And from your website and your campaign literature, you appear to be running to the right of the current office holder. Why not run as a Republican and challenge him in the primaries?
Well, as you know, 2 years ago, Commissioner Ficus, in running for county commissioner, had an opponent in the Republican primary. And Commissioner Ficus spent, we're told, around $200,000 to win that race. And we felt like that issues facing the county, that in order to remedy the problems that we have, it made more sense to challenge him in the general election.
George W. Bush, garnered over 60% of the vote in Precinct 3 in 2004. Kind of an uphill battle.
Well, there's no question that we're the underdog in the race. I am happy to tell you that currently, as you know, the Texas House of Representatives is probably the main stage in the struggle between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. There are 5 House seats between the Republicans and the Democrats in control of the Texas legislature. Now, what's important about that, the reason I'm telling you about that, is that Commissioner Ficus has had difficulty, I think it's fair to say, in his fundraising, and he actually received a contribution from the state Republican Party for this general election. And that is an eye-opener. The reason it's an eye-opener is that that's funds that the state party obviously would have liked to have invested into those Texas House races. And that tells us that we're running a very competitive campaign. the State Republican Party, the hierarchy of the State Republican Party, would not be putting money into Commissioner Fix's campaign if they didn't feel it was necessary for him to help him secure victory.
You touched on a couple of issues I'd like to touch on. First is fundraising.
Yes, sir.
The last thing that I could find, I tried to download Commissioner Fix's report off of the Tarrant County website, and it kind of hung up about three different times, and I could never, his latest one. But the Star-Telegram, their political blog, had a blurb back from July 15th that said that Democratic challenger Jerry Lee Phillips has raised more than his November opponent, Republican County Commissioner Gary Fickus. Phillips raised $12,772 and reported $9,799 cash on hand. Fickus has raised $4,750 but reported $66,000 and some change cash on hand. But Fickus also reported loaning his own campaign $25,000.
Yeah.
How's the fundraising gone since July? I think this July 15th.
Yeah, it's going very well. We're competitive, and we're where we projected we would be when we set our goals for the campaign back in January of this year.
Are you being outspent? 2-1, 3-1?
Well, I don't know. It depends. We don't know. Commissioner Fickus has more money on hand than we do. How much of that money he'll spend
between the last reporting period and the election?
We don't know. So how much he spends and how much we wind up being outspent, we'll know after the election, not before, of course.
From my personal experience, yours is the only thing I've gotten either in the mail or on my doorstep in this race. If you bring up the League of Women Men Voters, October 8th, you showed up, your opponent didn't. Is that the truth?
Sir.
Did you hear why he didn't show up?
No.
Did he?
They read a prepared statement that he had prepared, and you know, he was not present. Now, he was present at the one that we just had this last Thursday.
So he did show up for that one?
He did, that's right.
Any difference why he'd show up for one and he wouldn't show up for another?
Well, you have to ask Commissioner Fickus. I don't know. But I do know that if we thought the forum was a really valuable for the voters of Precinct 3. We air our differences, which are stark, and they're very. We do not see the. We have a basic disagreement on the size of government and on the accountability of office holders.
Your campaign literature, I looked through here. It's 12 pages. Nowhere in there did I see that you were running as a Democrat. Was that on purpose? Or is it in there and I just missed it?
Well, I'll say this. We have learned that regardless of party affiliation or a lack of party affiliation, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, that they all believe in two or three things that in common. They believe that when they're taxed, that their money should be well spent. They believe that office holders should be accountable when things don't go right. They don't like it, for example, when they see their county government grow by 126% in 10 years, far outstripping population growth and inflation. They feel, I believe it's fair to say, that voters feel uncomfortable when they see local government become very, very large.
Star-Telegram. Let's move to the Star-Telegram, then we'll get on to individual issues.
Yes, sir.
I didn't follow this race hardly at all until I received your campaign literature yesterday, and then when doing some research into who you were, I came across the Star-Telegram's recommendation, or I don't know, I've read a lot of Star-Telegram's endorsements, but this one seemed to take almost a personal jab at you. I mean, it wasn't enough to say that who they supported, but they kind of called you out a little bit. I mean, can you explain why?
Well, I'll try. Sure. The Star-Telegram editorial board, I appreciate them allowing me to come in and make my presentation. I did do challenge some of the conventional wisdom, and one of the pieces of conventional wisdom that's out there is that road funding is no longer available. fact, I did bring one thing with me this evening. It's a transcript of the Texas Department of Transportation public hearing from July 1st.
And
in
it,
yes, sir. And this is the public hearing for the North Tarrant Express, which is the massive toll plan for Northeast Loop 820, I-35W, and Airport Freeway. And Commissioner Fick, which Commissioner Fickus endorsed without reservation. And Commissioner Fickus made a short statement, and here are about two sentences from it. We know that traditional funding methods for expansion are no longer an option. Let me just stop at that line right there. So what the commissioner said at the TxDOT hearing was that we either get tollways or we don't get any road expansion. And that's a conventional wisdom that I challenge. And I challenged it on a couple of bits of information that are publicly available. The state's running a $10 to $15 billion surplus, and certainly that surplus can be tapped to begin the expansion without toll roads of Northeast Loop 820. Secondly, the general fund can be used on a year-to-year basis to begin to fund roads. Third, as Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst said, there are bonds that the Department of Transportation have not issued, depending on what source you're reading, anywhere from $3 to $5 billion in bonds that are yet to be issued. And in addition to that, our gas tax, or strictly speaking, the motor fuel tax, Tarrant County does not get its share returned. Its residents of Northeast Tarrant County pay a gasoline tax to the state government and the federal government every time they fill up their car. And the numbers that we come up with in terms of that money being returned to Tarrant County is somewhere around 70%. There was a study that was done 4 years ago, and over 200 metropolitan areas in the United States, the DFW area came in second to dead last in getting the return of the motor fuel tax. And knowing that Northeast Tarrant County has received so little of those funds in the past 4 years, and all you have to do is look at the roads around Northeast Tarrant County, there's no question that we are either near the bottom or at the bottom in terms of getting our motor fuel tax return. So there's at least four sources of funds available to expand our roadways in Northeast Tarrant County and get our traffic moving. The Star-Telegram's editorial took issue with me on that and said, no, there was not money available, and I stand by what I said. There is money available.
But they took a—I mean, they were personal. I mean, they basically earthed Jerry. Come in, Jerry. I mean—
Well, sometimes when you challenge the conventional wisdom, the people who believe in the conventional wisdom want to agree with you in the most strong terms.
You touch on a lot of hot-button issues with me. I hate tolls. One of the reasons—
Oh, by the way, you're not the only one. Yes.
I grew up in Illinois. To drive from one side of Chicago to the other side of Chicago is going to cost you about $15. When I first moved here, North Dallas Tollway was the only tollway that we had. 30 had already opened up and become a public road. But now it seems every time we turn around, we have a toll. 121, perfect example. I think that the people that read the blog and listen to the podcast, it's a hot-button issue with them also. I mean, that road was, public funds were used to build it, and then we basically sold it, and now we have to pay tolls to use it. 820 between 35W and Precinct Line Road, or between where
North
it turns
Mall.
Out, North
yeah.
East Mall.
Yeah.
Has been woefully inadequate since I moved here in 1984. Okay, that's 25 years almost.
Yes, sir.
Now, from the governor on down, a Republican governor on down, everybody says the only way to fix the roads are to build tolls and build tollways.
That's actually not entirely true, sir. Kay Bailey Hutchison has spoken out against tolling.
Kay Bailey has spoken out. On numerous times.
Senator Hutchison has. I said David Dewhurst, our lieutenant governor, has confronted TxDOT regarding the poor accounting and that TxDOT had not issued bonds that he felt had been authorized by the legislature. So it is not a foregone conclusion that tolls are the way to... In fact, I will make the argument that pursuing tolls has been counterproductive, and here's why. Commissioner Fickus, since his election 2 years ago, has pursued tolls as our only option for highway expansion. In that time, we've seen the credit crisis, which has taken away the ability of many toll companies to fund the toll roads that they might otherwise build. Secondly, in that period, the increase in the price of gasoline has caused many motorists who would ordinarily use toll roads to not use toll roads. They just don't have the money to drive on toll roads.
So they're clogging the arterial roads.
So they're being forced onto arterial roads, that's correct. And so by pursuing this toll road option, we in fact have delayed remedying our transportation needs.
You brought up, I made a blog post a week or two ago when NTTA had to have an emergency meeting a couple weekends ago because they had like $250 million in temporary bonds that they had to convert by some date in November, and they weren't able to sell the bonds because of the credit crisis. And they were having to look at possibly even borrowing money from a bank to cover up.
Absolutely. Tyler, there's a roadway called Loop 49, and the Texas Department of Transportation spent $15 million to build the first segment of that as a toll road. And I believe it was in August, the gross revenue for that toll road was
$600. $600.
So toll roads are not necessarily the option. And even toll companies, as I said, are questioning the viability of a number of projects. And as you may know, two or three of the possible bidders on the North Tarrant Express, this is the proposed toll plan for Northeast Loop 820, those companies went to the Texas Department of Transportation to say that they were concerned about the tolls. They were questioning whether they would receive enough tolls to cover their cost and have asked for guarantees.
So you also touch in your campaign literature, Cintas, a foreign company.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That's something that I don't think has been publicized very often. Can you explain who Cintas is and what are they doing in Texas?
Sure. In fact, if you go to the Texas Department of Transportation website, you can pull up these projects by name. In the North Tarrant Express, you can pull up actually the names of the companies that are bidders. And most of them are a combination of companies. And almost all of them have foreign components. That has been one of the biggest detriments to the Trans-Texas Corridor is foreign ownership. And again, we see with these toll roads, that's the issue, foreign ownership. And most Texans, they don't like tolls. We know that from a number of polls, and the numbers are overwhelming. Texans don't like tolls, and they sure don't like foreign ownership of toll roads.
You mentioned in your campaign literature that you would be a full-time county commissioner.
Yes, sir.
As opposed to a part-time.
I'm drawing a distinction. Yes, sir, I am.
And you're drawing that. Are you saying that our current county commissioner isn't a full-time commissioner?
Well, our current commissioner still has a development business with his partner John Doherty, and that business is still active. And I will serve as a full-time commissioner when elected.
I never saw on that Fort Star Telegram that I read in your campaign literature and actually had time to research it and found out it was true, was that the county commissioners gave themselves a raise and an increase in their car allowance.
They did, and isn't that interesting? If you were a business person and your employees did not do well, you typically don't give them a raise. Well, as taxpayers, we have to look at the commissioner's court and ask ourselves the question, did they deserve this raise? The public hospital is in shambles, our taxes are too high, and their solution to our transportation needs are toll roads. They did not merit a raise.
Let's touch on what the county does. Tarrant County, the main expenses are the jail.
Yes, sir.
The hospital.
Yes, sir.
The sheriff's department and roads and bridges.
And yes, sir. And, of course, the court system is under purview.
The sheriff's and yes. The law enforcement. Let's rephrase it as the law enforcement issue. We hear a lot about the Dallas County jails and their overtime. And at one time we heard that there's some issues here.
Yes, sir.
Do we have issues at the jail?
At this point, I was messing around with the recorder, trying to listen into some earbuds that I had to make sure that we could actually hear something over all that background noise you've been hearing. And when I was doing that, I distracted Mr. Phillips. I allowed him to gather his thoughts and take another shot at the question. My apologies.
If we increase the pay for jailers in particular, that by lowering the turnover and lowering the cost of continually retraining jailers, that we actually would reduce that budget expense in the county budget.
Because right now we're paying jailers like 12, 13 bucks an hour starting salary, is it not?
In fact, I don't know that it's that high. It's not enough. And there have been Tarrant County Law Enforcement Agency has pushed the commissioners to raise the pay for the jailers. And I've looked over their information. I think they're probably right.
Okay, we talked about the jail. Let's talk about the hospital.
Yes, sir.
JPS. Been in the news a lot lately. In fact, the director was...
David Cicero left the hospital.
Was asked
hospital.
To leave or left on his own accord, or depending on what article you read on what day. It seems that from the articles that I read, the overview was that they had cut the costs down and to the point that they weren't servicing the customers, but at the same time, the hospital was making a profit.
That is essentially correct. I believe that's right. Yeah, that's the way I understand it as well. And what's really sad is that it took investigative reporting by the Fort Worth Weekly and the Fort Worth Star-Telegram to bring that to light. The Commissioner's Court was not doing an adequate job of oversight, which is a requirement of the Commissioner's Court. It's not an option. And the Commissioner's Court failed the taxpayers of Tarrant County in this regard.
And because the JPS Hospital still has a fund balance down there of the profits that they've made in the last few years.
Yes, they've projected to have a $500 million surplus.
And that's with a B.
That's with a B. A $500 million surplus. And that's why the very, very small tax rate reduction that was authorized by the Commissioner's Court in September was such an insult to taxpayers. If you want to put it in perspective, the hospital is budgeted, by the way, separately from the county, okay? It's budgeted as a separate entity. The reduction for someone owning a $100,000 house from the reduction in the rate for the county is $2.50 a year. For the hospital district, it's $2.50 a year. So what that means is that on December 31st, a Tarrant County family can go to McDonald's and split a Happy Meal.
Or we could buy two waters at Starbucks. Gary Fickus, I went to his website, to be fair, and the only thing I printed out was a full page of his supporters. And it's basically who's who of Northeast Tarrant County. That's an awful tough fight to have when you have some of the names that are on this list that are lending support to Mr. Fickus. On your website, I kind of scrolled through there and I couldn't find a list of supporters. Can you give us an idea of who around town is supporting you?
Sure. In fact, actually, if you go back to the financial reports, you'll see that Commissioner Fickus, in his last reporting period, you know, the majority of his funds were picked up from PACs and special interests. My donations come in very small donations overall, in small amounts, and are largely come from concerned residents of Northeast Tarrant County. It's always the case when you're facing an incumbent that you face someone who has great influence over other office holders and other public servants. And I'm not whining, I'm just saying that's the way it is. And so as a challenger, you have to contend with that.
It's tough to be a mayor and not and come out against the incumbent when you're relying on him to approve money for roads and bridges in your town. That's basically what you're saying. That's the facts a lot. I mean,
it is what it is. I've heard that before.
Is,
yes, sir.
It is what it is.
One thing I would like to add about the toll road issue is that at the forum this last Thursday and in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram endorsement editorial, the assertion was made that Commissioner Fickus opposes tolls. Now, at the forum, Commissioner Fick has explained his position that he actually supports what he calls paid managed lanes, but he opposes tolls.
Now, paid managed lane, as I understand it, is basically like a HOV lane that you have to pay for access to.
Well, what I would say is, for the average motorist, it's a toll line. And I like to speak English. It's a toll line. Residents of Northeast Tarrant County should not have to pay tolls, because to pay tolls is to tell them they need to pay for the roads twice. They'll be paying for it at the gas pump, and they pay again at the toll booth. And that's fundamentally unfair. It grows cynicism in our society. It makes people cynical of government. It has a number of issues. You know, the tolls are bad in them, they are bad in themselves, but they, from that issue come other problems. And I said it breeds cynicism. People understand they pay taxes for a reason. And most people grouse about paying taxes, sure. But if they know it's going to something worthwhile, well, that makes it a little better. But then to pay taxes, and by the way, most people pay hundreds of dollars a year in their motor fuel tax. And then to say, well, you have to pay a toll for the road that's closest to you. But for example, the toll-free road being built out in Lubbock, they do not. Now, people know that's going on. People in Northeast Tarrant County, they travel. They know what's going on around the state and around the nation. And when they see new freeways going up around Texas and the nation, but then they're told that they're going to have to pay tolls right here in Northeast Tarrant County on the roads that they know, 820, Airport Freeway, I-35W, that's not, you know, I'm sure it disappoints them, and I would suspect it makes them feel that they are not being well represented.
Did you read, I believe it was in last week's issue of Fort Worth Business Press, they had an article about where a bunch of bigwigs got together and discussed road funding for the future for Dallas-Fort Worth area. One of the things that was presented at this meeting that was presented in this article was that some of the planners for high-speed rail and for rail in general in Dallas-Fort Worth are proposing possibly putting a property tax increase to pay for transportation. What's your feelings on that?
Well, let's make sure we're talking about the same thing. If we're talking about commuter rail, it's different than talking about what they call long-distance high-speed rail.
Right. Well, yeah, rail.
Yeah.
They're talking about 240 miles of commuter rail needed for Dallas-Fort Worth.
Sure. Now, this brings up a really interesting question. Okay. We all know how to build more roads. We know how to pour asphalt. If we had $2 billion more dollars, the state could go ahead and start on the expansion of Northeast Loop 820. The state has already committed two. Another two would get the project going and get it completed. Now, why is it that we can't come up with $2 billion to get that started, but we think we can come up with billions more for commuter rail or for long-distance high-speed rail? In fact, long-distance high-speed rail that Commissioner Fickus is promoting would probably cost between $50 and $100 billion. And by the way, probably not be completed for 20 years. It seems to me like what the people of Northeast Tarrant County really want are to get the highways that they travel most often expanded as quickly as possible so that they can get to work on time.
But doesn't that go counter against the National Democratic Party stance of less roads and more light rail and more, you know, more green avenues of traveling?
Well, actually, I don't know that it does or not. I really don't know that but I do know this, that automotive technology has grown by leaps and bounds. It started with fuel injection in the late 70s, where we got motors that were more powerful and more fuel efficient and more clean. We've progressed to hybrids, and then battery technology is in the offing in the next year or two. We could see the ability of cars and trucks to be less environmentally unfriendly, and be significantly so, in just the next 2 or 3 years. So I'm not trying to sound old-fashioned. I mean, I do like cars. I'm a car guy. But
that's one of the things I found on the internet about you. You're kind of a motorhead like me.
Sure.
You kind of rebuild old race cars.
Absolutely. And, you know, as somebody who's a car guy, I see all these advances in automotive technology, and I think to myself, this is significant. And I think maybe we're dismissing it. Now, going back to your question about commuter rail, we have to look at the dollars. And we have to look at the ridership of what commuter rail would be if we expanded it versus what would happen if we added asphalt to our highways. Like I said, we know how to make asphalt work. We know how to pour more asphalt. We know how to get the highways moving if we put the funding into it. There's all kinds of questions with commuter rail. And commuter rail, of course, is working well in Dallas. But they're having difficulty with DART, expanding DART, because it is expensive. It is very expensive.
And just to be fair, I mean, you have to define success when you say that they're
having
success in Dallas. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that DART came up with $1 billion missing out of their construction fund.
Yes, sir.
That's a billion with a B.
Yes, sir.
And the actual money wasn't gone, but what they had projected that they were going to have to spend to what they now have to spend, there is $1 billion difference.
I think what the people of Northeast Tarrant County want is somebody who will fight to bring home the motor fuel tax that they pay, to put it into the roads that they drive daily, to expand them, to increase the capacity so that they feel like they can get to work on time in the morning. They don't feel like they should be paying tolls. They don't think they should not be paying twice for the same roadway. And that's fair. That's a fair criticism.
I'll give you the opportunity to make a closing remarks and wrap up the interview.
Yes, sir. What this race is about is a referendum on the last 2 years. Are we closer to solving our transportation problems, our problems with our county hospital, and lowering our taxes than we were 2 years ago? I would make the case that we're not. We have received only a teeny tiny possible tax rate decrease. We have seen our public hospital in shambles, and the verdict is out on whether the hospital problems have been remedied. And we all know that our transportation problems are not, the solutions to our transportation problems is not any closer than it was 2 years ago. So I would ask for the voters of Northeast Tarrant County to vote for a change. Vote for a change in the way we do business. Because the status quo is not working. We need to all try to focus on our problems to get them solved, whether it be Republicans or Democrats or independents. By the way, I noticed that when we're stuck in traffic, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, you still want to get moving.
And I want to thank you for your time on such short notice. You came down here and spent some of your time that you possibly could be using on your phone bank. And I wish you good luck in the election coming up on November 4th.
Doug, thank you so much. Your blog is one that I'm familiar with, and I really enjoy reading it. And to the folks in Keller and in Northeast Tarrant County who read it, I thank them very much for listening.
I want to thank Mr. Phillips and his campaign for sitting down with us. I only contacted him on Sunday evening, and I had a response agreeing to the interview by Monday morning. I also want to thank you for tuning in and listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, take the time to subscribe to future podcasts in iTunes or clicking the subscribe button on Keller City Limits main page. And be sure to check Keller City Limits for updates on future episodes and postings on local politics, high school sports, and a little bit of everything in between. The intro music on this episode is brought to you by the PodSafe Music Network, David Kraut's Don't Listen. More of David's music can be found at his website at davidkraut.com. The outro music is kind of a play on the interviewee's name, Let the Circle Be Unbroken by Jerry Lee Lewis.
There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I say, Undertaker, you, Mr. Undertaker, would you please drive that wagon slow? 'Cause that party you are holding, my God, I hate to see the best friend I ever had have to go. Will that circle be unbroken by and by? In your precious sky. Oh, 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 oh.